And if you remember verse 1, Elijah comes on the scene. It's the first mention of his name. And he comes on the scene and he has a mission from God. And that mission is to tell Ahab that it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And remember, Ahab is a ruthless, wicked king. And this is the first thing we see Elijah do. And so now when we come to verse 2, where we're going to pick up, we're going to look at a fairly familiar passage tonight. I know that you've probably studied this passage before in the past, whether it be Sunday school or something else. But I pray God will make it fresh for you tonight. I tell you, this passage really spoke to my heart, and I pray it'll speak to your heart. So let's read this together. Verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." And so I want us to look at this passage tonight as we look at this subject, when God does not make sense. Y'all ever had that happen in your life? When God does not make sense. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you today. Thank you for your word and your truth. And Lord, I just pray that you would penetrate our hearts with this truth. Glorify yourself. Help us in this, Lord, to see how you worked in Elijah's life and how you work in our life. Father, the principles in which you have brought forth in Elijah's life, Father, are still true for what you do today. And so, Lord, just help us to glean from it. Help us to grow by it. And, Father, we'll give you the praise in it in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. All right, so let's look at verse 2. So after Elijah tells Ahab what he says, God comes to Elijah and gives him a word. So I want us to begin looking at an intriguing proclamation. Now, what do you mean intriguing? Well, I promise you, what God tells Elijah is very intriguing. And this is a proclamation to which God expects Elijah to obey. And what we need to understand is this is for Elijah's good, but it's also going to be for God's glory. And this is all going to be part of everything God does in Elijah's life. So let's look at a couple of things in this intriguing proclamation. First thing is this, the revelation to the prophet. God comes and he tells Elijah, he said, I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and I want you to hide yourself there. Now, the word Cherith there simply means to separate or to cut off. Now, why in the world would God tell Elijah to do this? Why would he tell him to proclaim what he proclaimed to Ahab and immediately go and separate himself and cut himself off from people for God to do a work? Well, I want to tell you something. God was trying to help Elijah and trying to prepare Elijah. And we're going to look at all that tonight. But here's the thing. When God gives us direction, many times in our human way of thinking, it makes no sense whatsoever. And in Elijah's human way of thinking, I'm sure this made no sense whatsoever. But yet, can I tell you today? F.S. Webster, I think, said it right when he said this. Blessed indeed are they who leave the planning of their lives and the molding of their characters in the hand of perfect wisdom, perfect power, and the perfect love of the Lord. Many times when God gives us direction, we look at it and it makes no sense. But in God's way, it always makes sense. Why? Because God has a perfect plan in everything he directs us to do. And so now, here's the thing. You and I have to get to the place where we get on the same page with him, through which we allow him to do whatever he desires to do. Now, I believe there's three things here in which this proclamation that God gave Elijah, there's three things that was wanting to be accomplished. Number one, it's a word of protection. Now, you have to understand, when Elijah told Ahab this, Ahab was absolutely infuriated. Matter of fact, the Bible says in chapter 18 that Obadiah came to Elijah and said, listen, Ahab has sent people to every part of the nation to find thee. And I promise you, he wasn't finding him to give him a thank you card. And I promise you, he wasn't going to be on his wish list in any way, shape, or form. And I promise you, Elijah was not going to be the chaplain of the palace. Ahab wanted to kill him. Ahab had an absolute anger towards him. Why? Because number one, he spoke against the prophet that they worshipped, or the god they worshipped in Baal. And not only did he speak against the god in which they worshipped in Baal, but he put out a challenge that would challenge the god of Baal, in that Elijah said, the God will make it not to rain for 3.5 years. Remember what I told you last week? That Baal was the god of rain. And so literally what Elijah did here was expose Baal and condemn what Baal is, and at the same time pass judgment upon Ahab and the people. And so Elijah was not a popular dude. And so God gave word unto Elijah to separate himself, to depart. And he did this in this way. Go down to the brook Cherith. And that was the word of protection. Now we see this throughout Scripture. You remember when we go to the Old Testament, you remember what happened with the Lord Jesus at birth, and Herod gives that decree that every child would be killed? What did God do with Mary and Joseph? Told them to depart the land. We find it again with Moses in the Old Testament. We find it countless times in Scripture. We find it with David and his dilemma with Saul. You find it many times in Scripture where God gives direction for the purpose of protection. Now I want you to listen. Many times when God speaks to our heart about direction, we may not see it that way, but I promise you, God may be doing something that you're not conscious of at all. And that's the amazing thing about trusting God. When you don't see the end result. Now, I'm one of those people, I like to have everything planned out. In other words, I like to have my I's dotted, my T's crossed. Anybody else like that? But can I tell you, God don't work that way. God don't work that way. Matter of fact, Elijah was given this word and he was going. He didn't have any answers to this. He didn't understand any part of this. And then what God told him he was going to do made no sense to man. So trusting God will not make sense with your way of thinking. God always works in ways that are contrary to what makes sense with man. Listen, if God always done things to what makes sense with us, why in the world would we trust him? God works beyond what makes sense to man. And this is the reason that God alone gets the glory for it. Now, so we see a word of protection. Well, it was also a word of provision. God told Elijah, he said, I'm going to let you drink of the brook of Cherith, and I'm going to feed you flesh and bread morning and evening. So, in other words, wherever God guides, he also what? Provides. And so God gives not only Elijah direction. Say, I'm guiding you away. I'm separating you away. And I'm putting you in a place that is just me and you. But I want you to know, Elijah, I'm not going to put you there and leave you. I'm going to put you there and provide for you. And that's the glorious thing about God. Because when God does these things in our life, and it makes no sense to our human way of thinking, isn't it amazing that every single time when we step out on faith, God always comes through? And that's the way God works. And so we see a word of protection, a word of provision. But I want you to see the third thing. It's a word that was perplexing. Absolutely perplexing. You say, what's so perplexing about it? Well, let me give you a couple of things here. God said two things to Elijah. He said in verse 4, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, I'm not very smart. But I would think the last thing that would bring me food would be a scavenger bird, a predator bird, a flesh-eating bird. And a flesh-eating bird is going to bring me flesh. Would that not be a little perplexing to you? But let me take it a little bit further. That alone makes it crazy. But at the same time, let me take it a little further. In that culture of that day, you know what ravens were seen as? A sign of death and a sign of tragedy. And not only that, but let me take it one step further. God said in Moses that ravens were unclean and you're to have no part with them. And then God comes to Elijah the prophet and says, hey, I want to tell you what I'm going to use to feed you. How many of y'all would sign up? You talk about faith. You talk about having to believe God when it makes no sense whatsoever. But not only that, but the brook Cherith, I'm not going to get into all the historical parts of that, but here's what I want you to know. This brook was not a river, it was a stream. And Elijah just told Ahab it was what? Going to stop raining for 3.5 years. What happens to streams when it stops raining? So God says, I'm going to give you water from a brook that's going to dry up, and I'm going to give you flesh from a bird that likes to eat it. Do you see what I'm saying to you? God does not work in the way man thinks. This was going to be something in which Elijah was going to have to absolutely depend upon God, no matter how absolutely perplexing it was for Elijah to hear. And that's the way God works many times. When God speaks, folks, I want you to listen. If God always directs us in a way in which we have to depend upon Him. People always tell me a lot of times, well, I don't believe God's in this. And I say, why is that? They said, well, I can't do it. And I said, well, that probably tells me God is in it. Because if we could do it without Him, why would we need Him? See, God always works in ways in which we have to depend upon Him. And that's the reason God works in perplexing ways. And that's the reason God directs us in perplexing ways. And that's the reason God does what He does the way He does it. So this is the revelation to the prophet. But I want you to see, secondly, it was a revelation to the people. Because Elijah was the only prophet at that time. Elijah was the voice piece of God to Israel. And now God has what? Removed Elijah, separated Elijah, not only from Ahab, but from his people. So what kind of revelation does that give to God's people? Well, simply this. God has told Israel that if you reject my blessings, I will reject you and I'll remove those blessings. And can I tell you, one of the scariest things God will ever do is remove His voice piece. And it was a revelation to the people. Remember what the people have done. They followed Ahab and began to worship Baal. And they've abandoned God. And Elijah's come along, and Elijah has told them the judgment that's coming because of that. And Elijah being the voice piece of warning and the voice piece of repentance, yet the people did not heed it. So what did God do with it? He removed it. Removed it. Why? Because if the people live long enough without hearing from God, maybe they'll come to the place of realizing how much they need God. Because then they're going to be on their own. And can I tell you what happens when we're on our own? We're going to fall every time. And if we fall hard enough, can I tell you what will happen then? Just maybe we'll look up. And this is the way God worked. This is the way God worked. Let me give you a couple of verses that will go along with this that will help you understand this. Psalm 109, verse 17. Here's what the psalmist says. And he loved cursing, so let it come unto him as he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from what? Let what be far from him? The blessing. In other words, one of the greatest acts that God will do in your life and my life is sometimes let us have what we think we want. So we realize that that wasn't the blessing. That was the curse. How many of you read Israel got tired of manna? Said, we want some meat. Y'all remember that? Remember what happened? Moses went to God and said, God, what do you want me to do? God said, give them some quail. How many agree afterwards they realized they didn't want the quail? See, that's the way God works. God works in that way. Can I tell you the same thing happened to the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus was in the land, his people, and they would not respond to him. John chapter 11, verse 33, or 53 and 54. Then from that day forth, after they rejected the Lord and they sought to kill him, from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, even unto a called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. God gave them truth through the Lord. What did they do with it? Nothing. So what did God do? Removed his son. This was the revelation to the people. Well, all that kind of just paves the way for this text. I want you to pick through this with me now. I want to kind of slow down now, and I want you to see, secondly, an important participation. So God's given Elijah a word of protection and a word of provision. And as perplexing as it was, Elijah can now have everything God said. But I want you to hear me. Elijah had a part to play to get the provision of God. Watch this with me just a minute. I want you to see the parameters of God's provision. Notice what it said. It says, and it, verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You see that little word there? That's the absolute key to that whole verse. Because what God said, I have a provision of water, I have a provision of flesh, I have a provision of bread, but Elijah, I'll only give it to you there. So in other words, Elijah, if you don't like what I've got to say to you, or you think you've got a better place to go, go ahead and go, but my provision is off the table. Now, does God provide for his children even when we don't disobey? Absolutely he does. But does he provide for them in the way that he would have provided if we did obey? Absolutely not. How many of you agree today that manna was not God's purpose for Israel? Was God's provision for them in what? Disobedience. What was God's provision for them in obedience? The land of Canaan, the corn of the land, the fruit of the land, a fertile land. But yet Israel disobeyed God. God would not forsake them, but God did provide for them, but provided for them in manna in the morning, manna at night, manna the next day, manna the next week, and manna the next years. And they could have been eating of the corn of the land the whole time. So in other words, as God guides us, he'll only provide where he's guided. So guess what? If we yield to his guidance, his provision automatically follows along. Are y'all getting that? Say amen. In other words, one comes as a result of the other. Let me apply this to the New Testament. How many of you agree God's provided everything you need for the Christian life in Christ Jesus? But how many agree you got to participate by faith in yieldedness and surrender to him? Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Amen. What happens when you do? Then all that God provided for you through Christ now can become reality in your life. But what if I have a mindset I can do it my way? He'll let you. Exactly right. He'll let you. He'll let you until you realize you can't. And when you realize you can't, you realize that He can. So the thing is, God's got an awesome provision for every one of us. But listen, there's a participation in that provision. And that participation is by faith. You have to trust and you have to yield to Him. And that's the parameters of God's provision. Well, let me show you the power of God's provision. I touched on the raven just a minute ago, but let me just kind of revisit that just a second. How many of you agree that only God could make a raven bring flesh to someone? Only the power of God could do that. Now, I say that because I want you to understand this. When we step out on faith, trusting God to provide for what He said He would do, here's the thing. Don't always lock yourself in a box thinking God's going to provide in a way you think He's going to provide. God can use anything. And God can use anybody. And can I tell you something? The last thing on Elijah's mind would have been a raven. But that's how God provided. You remember when Noah was on the ark and it quit raining? You remember Noah and them didn't get off the ark when it quit raining. They had to wait till what? The water subsided. And the first thing Noah did was send out a raven. Why did he send a raven out of the ark? Because if the waters had subsided, then the carcasses of all the dead animals would be what? On the ground. What are ravens like? This is the animal God said, Elijah, I'm going to feed you flesh with. So let me ask you a question. If God can make a raven bring a starving man some flesh, how many of you agree there's nothing God can't do to provide for what He tells you to do? Isn't that amazing? I mean, listen, there is the parameters, but there's the power in God's provision. So why did God do all this other than protection and all that? Well, see, God always has many reasons. God not only wanted to protect Elijah and not only provide for Elijah, but I want you to listen. God wanted to prepare Elijah. So I want you to look at this third thing with me, an intensive preparation. An intensive preparation. What do you mean by that? Well, God had to train Elijah. God had to teach Elijah. What did God have to teach him? To trust Him. You say, wait a minute, he's a prophet. Why would he have to learn how to trust God? Because I promise you, he, like us, needs to go through the school of faith. We have to be trained to trust Him. How are we trained? God's got to do some things in our life, sometimes allow some things in our life where we realize that only God could come through for us. Let me give you an example. How many agree that one of the things that we're going to study about Elijah is when he confronts the prophets of Baal? Now, I want you to get the picture. It hadn't rained for over 3 years. The prophets of Baal build their altar, and they pray to their God. You remember the challenge was fire? Y'all remember that? So they pray to their God, Baal. Nothing happens. They cut themselves. Nothing happens. Elijah has to hear from God on what to do. What's God tell him to do? Take water. When it hadn't rained for how many years? 3 years. How many of you agree that water, when it hadn't rained for 3 years, would be like gold today? And God told him, take water and dig a ditch around the altar, cover the altar, and the ditch be full, and then pray and ask me to intercede. How many of you agree? That makes no sense. But how many of you agree? Elijah was going to have to trust God. Where did Elijah learn that? Right here. See, if God would have provided for Elijah in a way that would make sense, then Elijah probably wouldn't have heard God when God told him what to do with the prophets of Baal. God had to prepare Elijah for what was ahead. And Elijah had no idea that's what God was doing. Can I tell you? You and I may be in the school of faith and don't even realize it. But can I tell you, God may be trying to prepare you for something down the road that you have no consciousness of what it is, and one day it may hit you, and all of a sudden what you're going to find out is what God taught you previously is going to get you through it for His glory. God prepares us. God prepares us. I want you to see three ways in which God prepared Elijah. First thing is a lesson of trust. A lesson of trust. Notice what it says here about these ravens. Verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. So what did God do? He portioned what he brought. You say, preacher, I don't understand. What's the point? The point is, God only brought Elijah enough for that meal. In other words, Elijah could not store any up for another day. How many of you agree when the manna came, there was just enough manna for that moment, that day? Y'all remember that? God told him that if you got enough for that day, and that's it. And God provided every day. You remember? But now here's the thing. God only gave Elijah enough for that meal. Why is that important? Because Elijah not only had to trust God that he was going to send flesh and bread by a raven, which made no sense, but Elijah had to trust God that he's going to do it not just one day, but two times every day. And if God didn't come through, he wasn't going to eat. God had to teach Elijah to trust him. And Elijah, morning and evening, would have to trust God that a raven would have some bread and flesh in his mouth or in his paws. How'd you like to be in a secluded place next to a creek, and it come supper time, and you're up there watching for a raven? How many agree that cries some faith? How many agree if somebody would have been there and they said, what are you doing? I'm waiting for a raven to bring me some flesh. How many agree they'd have said, you're nuts? Well, can I tell you, many times when you obey God, you know what the world's going to say about you? You're nuts. That's okay. Because God's not. Amen?